mean, I haven't reported to anybody that I've gone for that I'm getting this since. Nothing. But I thought, well, the minister was talking about it, you accept it. So I said, okay, we'll put you on a course. I lose all these terms. Anyway, but obviously our first reaction was to pray. And so we said, oh, we're not accepting this, Lord. This is not your will. So we prayed against it, prayed in the name of Jesus. And it went on and on because the course had to be long-winded. I don't know how many months you do with the demon. Sorry, I'm not really good at this. It's a bit vague. But it was a long time ago now. Anyway, we do continue. I'm not kidding. I'm seeing the doctor every month for 5 years. We moved to Shropshire 4 years ago, and would you believe we lived 50 yards from the medical centre. So we made blood sample tests. Very, very quick and convenient. Fantastic. And anyway, it doesn't take too long. Had some super doctors, brilliant nurses in the Roebuck Street at Warwick, where Acton, Kidderminster, where we now go. And the NHS, I want to say this morning, is excellent. The media knocks it all the time, but in my experience, it's absolutely brilliant. Anyway, the other thing that's part of the story is that we discovered listening to Joseph Prince on the TBN. Anybody watch Joseph Prince on TV? Yeah. Good, isn't it? That was encouraging for us. And anyway, as a result, we started, I don't know how many, 3 years ago, maybe more, we started taking communion every day. And just believing that by his wounds, we are healed and saying it. So we get to stand on that. We're not accepting all this stuff that the doctors say as the end of the story. It's part of the story. It's not the end of the story. Anyway, to get to the point of me being this morning, last Monday, we saw the doctor again, another routine podcast, and he said, Mr. Black, I can't find a trace of any life change. Any of that disease that you have, because the readings were like, you don't know about changes, I don't tell you, but it doesn't matter. But he said, I can't find any trace of your disease. No, you can't, sir. Now, I don't know why it took 5 years. Maybe our faith isn't as it should be. But God is faithful, and it is important to stand on his word, say it, say you will. And don't take too much notice of doctors. I mean, they mean so well, they're very, very good, they do mean well, but they don't know the spiritual dimension quite as much as Christians do. But praise God, I'm here.
Amen.
Thanks, Seb. So, my youngest brother is a doctor, and so when we got this news, he gave the rest of the family the worst case scenario, which wasn't good, but praise God, that's the best scenario, that's the Jesus scenario, amen. So, great. So, I'm taking the children out shortly, but just a few things to mention. We're going to pray at Jonathan and Jane's house on Tuesday night, and we'll also be discussing this leadership training course that with the opportunity to do. So that's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, is that a good time for you? Yeah, 8 o'clock on Tuesday. We'll have a daytime prayer meeting on Friday lunchtime, Friday afternoon at Jean Weston's flat, 1:30. And then next Sunday, we're going to begin 2 weeks prayer and fasting with the other six Kairos Connection churches around the area. And so we'll process that next Sunday morning. So we'll maybe share different ways that God's leading us to do that together. Because it's not going to be, you know, you must not eat any food for 2 weeks. We trust the Holy Spirit will show you what's the best way for you to fast. It could be TV, it could be internet, could be social media, it could be food, it could be, you know, sugar, you know, meet, whatever, really. But we'll talk about that and process that next Sunday. We're meeting here as usual. An advance notice in September. Faith Ministries International Network are having their annual gathering, and this year it's open to all members of this church and the other churches that are connected. So we only got the information yesterday due to some email problems, but it's going to be from the 13th and 14th of September, Friday night and Saturday. And I'm sure we'll have one of the team coming up to speak here on the Sunday, the 14th, or 15th, I guess it'll be. But I thought I'd mention that all to you verbally, so that when I send an email out, hopefully you'll be looking out for it. Because they've asked the numbers of people who'd like to go by next weekend, so that's why I'm mentioning it just now. So possibly Bonnie Duell, I'm not sure if she's coming. Dan and Nancy Thompson from California, who came to us last September. Ed and Mona Shirley, who some of us may know, will be there as well. And Ben Conway's church is part of that network as well, so he'll be down there. You normally see him down there. So great. And Chipper, you're going to try, just give a plug for the youth thing next Sunday. Oh, you're going to do it with the talk? Okay, because I think the teenagers are staying in. So, right. About the September event. Yes. I will definitely put it on WhatsApp. That's the way to go. So, right, so let's introduce Chipper, who I met last summer at a Soul Survivor event. He's the head of the Message Trust for the Midlands. He heads up Eden and all the other things, lots of exciting things. So you can keep going till 1:30, you have 45 minutes if you want, Chipper, because I'm sure you could fill that with no difficulty in the stories you've got.
Very good, very good. Great. Can you put the PowerPoint up for me? That'd be brilliant if you could. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Great to be here with you all. What a great testimony, sir. And it's always good to have your wife here just to jog your memory as well, isn't it? Hey, okay, I need my wife here with me this morning as well. She'll jog my memory a few times. But she's going to put this PowerPoint up. But yeah, as John said, I work for the Message Trust. I've done for nearly 5 years now. We were living up in Manchester in Eccles, and was there for 4 years, and looking after the Eden network across the northwest of England. Anybody heard of the Message Trust? Not all of you, not many of you. Have you ever heard of Andy Hawthorne? Well, he's the founder and CEO of the Message Trust. Anybody ever heard of, you've been around long enough with the music, Jumping in the House of God?
Yeah.
You remember that? Well, that was a worldwide message tribe, and that was Andy Hawthorne singing that when he was in his 20s. He's now 56 or 57. He tries to deny the fact that he ever done it. But thank you. Is that all on, is it? And just go across. Brilliant.
Trigger fingers off.
That's right. So, the Message Trust started some 30 years ago in Manchester. It was Andy and his brother Simon, who had a real vision to reach the hardest to reach young people across the city of Manchester. They put on their shell suits, which was very fashionable back in the 80s. Anybody wore a shell suit back in the day? Oh, you did you? Very good. You still got it?
No.
Not that you'd admit to. They are made up now. No, I don't believe it. Get lost. Is that right? We'll see. I'm going to buy a shell suit, I am. If they come back to fashion, I'm having one. I'll wear it to the Message and I'll probably get fired on the spot. So they had a real passion to reach young people with the gospel and see young people's lives transformed. So they started going to schools and rapping and stuff. Andy will tell you, he was the worst rapper in the world. He can't even sing properly, let alone rap. But it worked. And many, many people got saved through that ministry. And then the Worldwide Message Tribe was born. And then the Tribe, I think it was called, was born. With Lindsay West, LZ7, if you've heard of LZ7. He was part of that as well. And Lindsay, LZ7, still travel, actually, not just in this nation, but globally with the gospel. Here we are 30 years later. And we work in predominantly three main areas. One is around community transformation, which is our Eden network, which I'll talk a bit about, and John alluded to as well, where everything we do, in fact, is in partnership with local churches. We don't do a thing without the partnership of a local church. and Eden work and send teams into the most deprived communities in the UK. Work in the bottom 10% of deprivation in the UK, and we've been doing that for 20 years now, and we've launched over 60 teams, sent over 600 urban missionaries around the UK, and seen many, many people come to Christ, and many, many disciples and baptisms, etc., which is a beautiful thing. And we also work in what we call Creative Mission, which is our band. So we now have four bands and evangelists, etc., and different workers that go into schools, but not just in Manchester. In recent years, we've planted out of Manchester. We've still now got seven hubs around the UK, and here in the Midlands, we've got one as well. We've got one in London, Midlands, Glasgow, Cardiff, Yorkshire, Northwest, Manchester, no, Northwest, that is Manchester, Northwest, Northeast, that's it. And we've got also into Canada, South Africa, and the list goes on. So it's grown, God's on the move. And we're actually a £7 million charity just for the UK alone. And the thing that really drew me to the message, I was a pastor of a church before I worked for the Message Trust down in Oxford. And we knew we were coming out of that, we knew we were going to be moving into Manchester. I had no idea. At the point of us leaving Oxford on the way up, well, just about 3 weeks before we moved, we had no house in Salford, we had no jobs, we had no school for our son, etc. And it all came in one by one, a couple of weeks before we sorted out a house where we were going to rent, we had no jobs. But I knew the Lord had spoken to me about joining the Message Trust and being part of the work there. And one of the things that really drew me to the work of the Message Trust is that we don't take a penny, and never have taken a penny from anybody or any organisation that will say, here's a few quid, that might be a few hundred thousand or 50 quid, whatever it is, but don't tell them that bit about Jesus. You can do all the other stuff, all the social action stuff, and all that good stuff, but don't tell them about Jesus. We've never taken a penny from anybody that might try and say that to us. And I think it's a miracle, actually. A miracle that we're a £7 million charity now, and we refuse to take a penny of money from anybody or any organisation, any other charity, that would try and stop us from doing that. And I believe the Lord's honoured us in it. I've worked for a number of charities, and Christian charities. We started out as Christian, you know, all intention. But because of the pressure of money, because of the pressure of ongoing funding, you go down certain avenues of funding and you get money, but you're not allowed to tell them about Jesus. You're not allowed to do the gospel bit. And then slowly it erodes the essence of what the Christian ministry is about. So I love that. I love the work of the Message, and I love what we do. So I'll be talking probably a bit about that as well. I want to just show you this. Some of you probably already know, for any young people in the room who are senior school age, you need to be at this next week. I've got some of these as well. So I'll give them to you, John. You can distribute them, whatever, and get them out to even people across the city. I know this is a partnership between churches again, the Diocese of Warwick and Coventry, the Diocese of Birmingham, Diocese of Lichfield as well, and many other churches across, particularly the West Midlands, where we're doing this youth conference for all young people. This is actually really unique. Most youth conferences you'll hear about is actually for the youth workers, in how to engage with that generation, the generation of young people. This is primarily for young people, for senior school age up to university age. And the whole day really is about training, equipping, encouraging them in evangelism, how to reach their mates and their schools, and in the environments they're on, whether that's online or, you know, digital world, etc. So we've got Mark Ritchie speaking. Anybody heard of Mark Ritchie? Yeah, good. Most of us have heard of Mark Ritchie. He's a funny guy.
It sounded more like a Newcastle choir, Matt Ritchie.
Thank you very much. That's helpful. Praise God. So, Mark Ritchie speaking. He's brilliant. He's going to be there. He's a great evangelist. He's got another lady from Coventry, lives in Coventry, Jet Jones as well. She works for the diocese. And she's an amazing communicator. She'll be there with us as well. We've got our Eden bus, loads of loads. Please have a look at it. Get your young people there. Book on. We're expecting several hundred people there. It's going to be absolutely awesome. So, this is not what I wanted to speak to you about. I wanted to speak to us about Welcome to the Family. I feel like Don Corleone out The Godfather. Anybody seen that? Of course, we have all good Christians. Maybe watch those kind of films. Don Corleone, Welcome to the Family. But anyway, I want to talk to you about Welcome to the Family. God is a father. Turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, to John, 1 John, please. That'd be brilliant. I've got too many things in my hands. One John 3, verse 1-3. How great! In fact, I need my glasses. I'm getting I love my glasses. I'm getting old now. I need some glasses even to read. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us? Just soak these words in as I read them. Just receive them for yourselves. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I love this word lavish. It's the same word in Ephesians as well, that it lavishes God's grace and God's love. It talks about bestowing something generous or extravagant or extravagant quantities. All over us, in us, through us, and around us. It's a picture of God stooping down to us, with us receiving with hands open to receive the generosity of love and compassion and love, that we have eager hands waiting to receive from our Heavenly Father. I wonder if you remember that very first time of the revelation of realizing God is a Father for you. I wonder when that was, many years ago for some of us, or maybe recent years, having that revelation of God as Father. When when I married my wife was from a broken marriage. She was a domestic violence marriage with her husband, who was violent towards her and towards children. So when I married Anna, she had three children from her previous marriage, and we decided really that if I'm going to inherit, if you like, take on whatever these three beautiful children, they were all very young at the time, the eldest was about 11, that I was going to be their dad, and I wanted to be father to them. And so I remember on our wedding day, it was a lovely day, sunny day, all our friends and family were there, and we had Jordan, at the time of about 10, Bethany was about 11, and Olivia, she was 4 years old at the time. And two girls were bridesmaids, and Jordan, he was like a page boy. And I didn't know this was going to take place, but during the sermon and service, we did our personal vows to each other, me and Anna did. But also the children, well, Jordan, on behalf of his sisters, wanted to do personal vows for me and Anna as well, which was beautiful. And right in the middle of it, well, right at the beginning, Jordan turned around and he's like about this tall. And he says, and up to that point, they were calling me Chipper. And he said, Chipper? I said, yes, Jordan. Chipper, from this day onwards, we want to call you Dad. He's like, whoa. It broke my heart, there and then in front of all our friends and family. And they have, ever since that day, they've called me Dad, they've called me Father. And, it's just a picture of God adopting us as children, as his children, that from that moment of revelation, we can call him Father, our Heavenly Father. No longer is he distant, no longer is he far away from us. I remember Jack, our son, who me and Anna have together, where we moved from the Midlands. We were living in Walsall, if you know Walsall at all. Lived there 22 years, and Anna was born and bred there, our children born and bred there, moved down to Oxford to lead this church. And on the first day of Jack being in his new school, year 6, he found, so he'd been in his previous school last year, not a good time to move a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, were moving into year six and were taking to school in the car, and he was okay. And we pulled up outside the school, and I said, oh, I'll walk you in. So he said, okay. And as we were walking in, sort of like bottom lip started quivering. I thought, oh dear, oh dear, it's been all right up to this point. And as we're going through the gates, he just started crying and sobbing. He said, Dad, don't make me do this, don't let me go in, don't let me go in. And as I said, come on, son, we've got to do it. And he sort of dried his tears up, and we walked to where all the other kids were, and they all looked big, and, you know, year six, and Jack was only, like, quite petite. And I remember his top lip started to quiver again. So I said to him, I thought, we can't cry in front of all these new mates here. So I pulled him around the side and just, like, crying, and said, come on, son, pull yourself together. No, that was and I said, what's going on? He said, I can't do it. He said, Dad, don't let me do it. He said, come on, let's go home. He said, I can't do this. As a father, everything inside me wanted to say, okay, let's go home. But as a father, I knew he had to go through it. I knew he had to push through this day and get through this day because it's for his benefit, for his good. And we all go through challenges, don't we? We all go through difficult situations. And I've been through them. I'm sure you've been through them. Some of us are going through them. But actually, we're crying out to God, God, don't let me go through this. And Father God is saying, I'm with you. I'm walking through it with you. I'm with you every step of the way. And I'll be there every step of the way with you. Amen. I'm putting in pockets. God is a father. And the father has a family. John 1, verses 12 to 13. Turn with that to me as well, that'd be great. John 1, 12 to 13. The Gospel of John, yeah. Gospel of John 1 to... chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. We're in a family. It's a wide family. It's an oikos family of just small numbers of us. There's also an extended family of us as a global church as well. And yet while you're here, small in numbers here on a Sunday morning, you're also part of a much larger church family, aren't you, which is global. And I love that after, you know, speaking to John and stuff, and just the different connections that you have and the family that you have beyond yourselves here, just in commentary. And it's so important for us to be part of all that God wants to do us in us, because we're adopted into God's family. We believe that we're adopted into God's family. Two key things there is, one is that you're adopted and you believe in that adoption, that you're adopted as God's children. Romans 8:14-17, we won't turn to that due to time. But they received adoption and receiving of an illegal right to be called sons and daughters that they would receive. And it talks about there that we don't no longer have a spirit of fear, do we? But we have Abba Father with us. We are heirs to all that God wants for us and does for us. Five fears that will imprison us from receiving all that God has for us and God's purposes. The fear of man. The fear of reputation. The fear of rejection. The fear of death. And the fear of unknown. We don't need to live under those five fears anymore. But we are free from those fears in all that God has for us. And if we allow ourselves to live under those fears, it will cripple us. It will stop us from achieving God's purposes in our life. I repeat those. Fear of man. The fear of reputation. The fear of rejection. The fear of death. And the fear of unknown. Fear of reputation. What will I look like? How will people view me? What will people say about me? Fear of rejection. What happens if they don't believe me? What happens if they don't listen to me? What happens if they don't receive what I'm going to say? Fear of death. Fear that it might actually kill me, spiritually, physically. mentally, and the fear of the unknown. What if? What if? What if? I love my church family locally. I'm in a church in Derby. We've just moved to Derby in November, and we're just getting to know people there, and we absolutely love it. I love the church, and I love my family, the message. I love the Eden Network, the family of the Eden Network as well. And I love the global church as well. I just love that we're part of a much wider family than just ourselves. Family is the principal image of the New Testament church, from early church right through to the 21st century church. Here we are living out of it and living out the good of it. God is a father. God has a family. And the family has a purpose. As children of God, we have an eternal purpose that goes beyond just tomorrow. You know, the thing is that so many people just live for today, scraping by, living for today. They don't know what their purpose is, don't understand what their purpose is, but our purpose is an eternal purpose that goes beyond just tomorrow. Some people's purpose is to gain success, is to do better in business, become a CEO of the business, get more money, get more fame. Then if any of you watch Glastonbury at all on TV this weekend, but just seeing those bands there and just the fame and hundreds, something like 175,000 adoring fans going to Glastonbury. It's phenomenal. Like big church day out on steroids. It's just amazing. Just amazing. 175,000 coming from around the world. The world's biggest festival, that is. You're going 50 years next year. Started by a guy, a farmer who owned a farm and had this vision. And had a vision of what could be. Our vision is much bigger that God gives us. God's purpose for us is much bigger than just getting a load of lively bands into a field and getting hundreds of thousands of people in there as well. You know, your purpose in life is greater than your challenge. Your purpose in life, what God has destined us to do, is greater than the challenges it brings. We all have challenges, no matter whether it's financially, physically, mentally, whatever it is, we all have challenges. Moses himself faced challenges, and he made excuses in his challenge as well. God called him, and he made five excuses. We can see in Exodus 3:1-17. You can read the story later. His first excuse in chapter 3, verse 11 was, "Who am I? Who am I to do what you called me to do? Who am I to see your people released out of slavery?" But Moses struggled in this with his identity. Are you struggling with your identity and who you are in Christ Jesus? This morning, you can find a place of identity. He didn't feel qualified. He thought God had picked the wrong person for the job. But God's response in verse 12, "It doesn't matter who you are, because I am with you." God is with us. God is with every single one of us. When God calls you to do something, God will never ever leave you nor forsake you. Excuse 2, "Who are you?" He says in verse 13 of chapter 3. Moses felt a lack of intimacy. He didn't know God well enough to describe him to the people, and lacked confidence, conviction concerning his relationship with God. Maybe you feel that you don't have that intimacy with Jesus because maybe you feel you don't read your Bible enough or you don't pray enough. God says to us, "I am who I am. I am ever present. I am everything you need." Verse 14. Excuse 3, "What if they don't listen?" There's a fear of rejection just there, isn't there? What if they don't listen? Moses felt intimidated. He worried about the people's reaction to him. He felt the job was too big for him. What was God's response? Chapter 4, 2-9. "When I am finished, they will listen." When God does the job, people will listen. Excuse 4, I've never been a good speaker. It talks about that Moses wasn't an eloquent speaker, doesn't it? Moses fretted about his inadequacies. Who would listen to him if he couldn't even speak well? And God's response to him out of verse 11 and 12. I know. Wait a minute. No, it's wrong. He said, God's response to him was, guess who made your mouth? I know the colours of your eyes. I know the hair on your head. I made your mouth. And then he's excuse number five. I know you can find someone else. This is it. Moses having this conversation with God. Five excuses why he shouldn't be doing it. Every time God comes back to him with the reason why he's the chosen one. He's the one to do it. Moses felt inferior. He compared himself to others, even his brother, and decided that he came up short. God's response was, okay, I'll let Aaron go with you. He didn't say to Moses, you don't do it. He sent Aaron with him, didn't he? But still, you are called to go. And the story continues with Moses being obedient and taking the Israelites out of captivity. I'm sure we all know the story. If not, read the story. It's a great story, isn't it? Purpose isn't a thing that we do, but it's a thing that's within you. What's your purpose in life? What's the purpose that God's called you to as an individual? What is it that God's put within you? Our purpose comes out of Matthew 22, 36 to 40. And it's all about the rule, Lord. It's all about, I haven't got time to read it, but it's all about loving God and loving people. Love God, love people. Allowing everybody to hear God's voice and for us to love people. Our purpose, God said that when he was asked, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest law, which is what Matthew's talking about there, he said, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it. In fact, the second is exactly the same as it. Love your neighbour as yourself. In other words, love God, love people all the time. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, they gave his only son, didn't he? Our purpose is people. Our purpose is to love people. Our purpose is to show the love of Christ to people. Whatever situation that's in, whether that's in our work situation, whether that's at school, whether it's at college, whether it's with Eden, whether it's whatever it might be, people need to know that they matter. Mattering is a universal need. Every human being that lives on the face of this planet needs to know that they are valued and that they're important. Can we put the video up? That'd be right. I just want to show you a quick video of Joe. This is Joe. He's an amazing guy. And I know Joe well. He's based up in Manchester, up in our MEC, up our Message Enterprise Centre. He needs to know he matters. Listen to the story.
From school, sometimes my dad would be lying in. I was born to two alcoholic parents, and when I used to come home from school, sometimes my dad would be lying in the garden path because he was absolutely drunk. So growing up was very difficult. Everybody around me was taking drugs or they had some addiction. By the age of 16, I'm taking heroin. By the age of 22, I lost my brother to an overdose of heroin. 4 years later, my mum had a stroke, and as she was having a stroke, an ambulance drivers were there. They've took her out into the ambulance, and while she's out there, I'm stealing out her purse. The ambulance drivers come back into the house and ask me if I wanted to go with my mother, and I said no. I didn't realise that was the last time I was going to see my mother alive. I didn't know that I'd be stealing money out of my mum's purse as she's lying dying in the back of an ambulance. After I came out of prison, I moved to a place called Largs, and I went on to a Team Challenge bus, and I met outreach workers there. They were different, these people. They had something. I didn't know what it was they had, but they had a peace and a calmness that was attractive to me, and I wanted what they had. And I was ready to try everything. I'd tried the drugs, I'd tried counselling, I'd tried everything, and nothing had seemed to work, and this I was willing to try, because I had seen it made an impact in other people's lives. So when he got me into the classroom, he said a prayer and I repeated it after him. And it was one of these situations where absolutely nothing changed, but everything changed as well. So the circumstances and the situations that I found myself in were all the same, but something inside me was starting to change. It was like the guilt, the pain, was all starting to fall off. It was like everything that I'd been through was starting to make sense. My outreach worker got a phone call from somebody that messaged us, and he told him about the Oaks and said that I would be perfect to do the Oaks. So I was at the Oaks for 12 months, and then I was offered a full-time job in the Nescafe. I have worked there for 2 years, got qualifications in that, now I'm a fully qualified chef, and I love working beside people from my similar backgrounds. When I first came to the Oaks, I was the one that needed support, but now I am one of the ones that's getting support as well now, so I get to come alongside the guys at the Oaks and support and mentor them, and I really feel that I am called to the Oaks.
Excellent. Always brilliant, yeah, I'll add that one in a minute, thank you. There's Joe, what an amazing story. There's a young man who, we talk about disciples making disciples, and that's exactly what's happened with Joe. Complete heroin addict, as he said, was stealing out of his mother's purse while she was dying in the ambulance. And yet the transformation of where he is now. I know Joe, I saw him just last week, an amazing man, and full of faith, full of love of God in his life. And he lives in the Oaks. The Oaks is a 12-bed house that we have in Manchester, that the house is ex-offenders, and I'm sure you're aware, but the biggest issue around for ex-offenders when they're released is housing, employment, training, education. And it's something like 80% of offenders re-offend within the first year of being released. Our record is just about 4% of those re-offend. God's doing something. We work with, you know, ex-offenders who have made a decision to follow Christ in prison. So we have a prisons team going to a number of different prisons all over the place. We do discipleship, we do detached around the wings, walking the wings, we do Bible studies, we do alpha courses, work with chaplaincies, etc. People get saved in prisons and they can come and work with us at the in the Oaks, get a house in there straight away, and then we also look to get them on an MBQ program, and a 2-year discipleship program at the message there. By the end of it, they then move on to independent living, but they end up with this MBQ as well. So he's a qualified chef now. How amazing is that? It's just beautiful. Beautiful story of what God can do. And it's these four questions here that would people in your life be able to say yes to these four questions. Do you see me? That could be just a simple smile to somebody, couldn't it? A neighbour across the road or something. What I love about Eden's more than just being a good neighbour. It's intentionally living amongst the mostly private communities in the UK and showing God's love and compassion to people. Do you hear me? Might be at you're listening here to somebody, that you actually listen to people's stories. That do you care about me? You go out your way to help somebody. Who was the last person you went out your way to help? And I don't mean in this church. I don't mean another Christian. I mean somebody in the street, somebody that you know at your workplace maybe who doesn't know the Lord. And do I matter to you? And do you encourage people and reassure people? And do you love people? And really, that's what Joe needed, wasn't it? Joe needed those four things in his life that he didn't have. Talking about his father, who'd be often in the back garden, unconscious through alcohol and totally off his head. And, you know, I'm not surprised. We can often have like a bad attitude, if you like, towards offenders. But actually, there isn't one offender that I know that when they were a teenager or when they were a kid, they want their career, their kind of like purpose in life was to end up in prison. But actually, pretty much all of the offenders that I've come in contact with, and most of my previous life used to be a youth worker and work with young people who were offenders, and every one of them is actually through circumstances that they were brought up in, and life that they were, and the family that they brought up in. And I just got to say to myself, Lord, you know, if I was brought up in those similar circumstances, I'd probably be exactly the same. I'm not sure I'd be any different. Can we put on the other video, please, just to finish off with? That'd be great. This is a video about Eden and the team leaders who were in Walsall in the West Midlands. It's not working, eh?
Let me try again. Just close it and start again. Yeah. Get to it.
You've got a cute puppy.
Yes. Right.
We got married and moved up here, hanging here for a few years, and then we went to India for a time to see if we should pursue being missionaries there. It went really, really wrong. I got really ill, and we had to come back, and we didn't. We felt we lost our purpose, so we'd left our house and given away our stuff to go out there, and came back without any direction. And we're looking. We wanted to move back to the Midlands. We wanted to live intentionally, and we wanted to do youth and community work.
Yeah.
And so when we found Eden, it was everything we were looking for.
We got showed around Walsall and introduced to the church and the vicar here, and we just knew that it was the place for us to be. We just sort of fell in love with the area as we walked around. We are partnered with a church called St Peter's, which you can see from our house.
It's a real mix of different people. It was a church that was going to close its doors a few years ago. In fact, in 88 they were told church is done, it's going to be closed there. But a few faithful people kept going, and the church plant moved in, and the church plant always wanted to be partnered with Eden. That's something they wanted to do.
So when we first moved here, we did a lot of detached youth work, so we would just go to the local park and play football and take craft activities. Another thing we did would just be purposefully be outside our house a lot of the time, drinking tea and chatting to people and getting to know them. And through those relationships, we've now been able to start a youth group, which we call Thrive. So last March, when we took a group from Thrive to the Higher Tour, seven of our young people became Christians at that event. So now at Thrive, we do lots of things, like we play games and do craft activities, but we also are discipling young people now through studying the Bible together and praying together.
It's so amazing working with them, because they haven't been to church and they don't carry any kind of previous baggage or expectations of what church is. So St Peter's is incredible at just welcoming them and loving them, and they belong there, and it's working with them from that place. They've become Christians, they belong to a church family. Sometimes on a normal Sunday in church, a third of the people there will be under 18, and it'll be the kids we've got to know from the community coming in. And it's changing the dynamic of the church.
I think it's been quite a natural process as well, just getting to know like our neighbours, just going around to say hello to start with, and building up friendships and being present and available to people.
We're so excited that in a few years' time we know that some people we work with now are going to be the leaders, and they're going to be the people helping the church run this community.
Excellent, thank you very much. Gav and Gem are expecting their first child. And she just started maternity last week, actually, which is amazing. So they're super excited about that. I mean, they got a real testimony of, you know, they felt really called to India, and particularly Jem, actually, her whole life since she was a young child, she felt called to India, and met her husband, who wanted to go to India as well, but then through illness, they couldn't stay there, and they were heartbroken. Completely heartbroken, particularly Jem, and they got an amazing testimony about it. And they lost their purpose, as they talked about there. Maybe some of us feel like we've lost our purpose, but they knew they wanted to work amongst poor people, incarnationally, and they then joined Eden, and they're doing an amazing work with Eden and the church there, St Peter's Church. I know the Vicar Gav few years ago they were told that the church would close down. It was just a bunch of senior citizens praying for the church, and was told that by the diocese, literal diocese, that they'd have to close their doors because there was no funding, etc. And then out of another church, out of another Anglican church, they replanted into their launch with Eden Network, etc. And what I love is that what you're just sharing there, Gav, that some morning 30% of the congregation are under the age of 18. What a transformation. And the Higher Tour, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Higher Tour that they spoke about there. It was here in Coventry last year. So that was the Message Trust. And we saw across the Midlands, so in four different locations, that was Solihull, Coventry, the Black Country, and Birmingham. With our bands and our evangelists, etc., we went into 48 different schools over a three-week period. We saw 25,500 young people. All of them heard the gospel, for many of them, for the very first time. I don't know whether you realise or not, but I heard a stat recently that young people, for the first time, the majority of young people under the age of 18 think that Jesus is a fairy tale. That should shock us as Christians. That should terrify us as Christians. Because our young people are growing up and in a culture that they don't even believe, even though it's factual evidence that Jesus was a man and walked on the earth, whether you know people think he's the Son of God or not. They just believe he was a fairy tale. The majority of people today. And the church is on the back foot on this stuff. And we need to get back onto the front foot of it. And God, that's exactly where God wants us to be. And that's really the heart of the Higher Tour. 25,500 young people heard the gospel. If nothing else, that's amazing in itself. And then out of those 25,500 people, we did these large gigs in different venues with our bands and gospel work preachers. 3,500 young people attended those gigs, and something like 1,500 young people gave their lives to Christ over that three-week period. For me, that's pretty good. For me, that's something to celebrate. And we're doing it again. We're doing it again here in Coventry. Plans to do it again here in Coventry next November, not this November, 2020 November. And just looking at what that could look like in different schools, etc. So some exciting times, and we'd love you to be a part of that. I love it when they were sharing about it. They took seven of their young people off the estate that they were working with to Higher Tour. All of them became Christians, and they were all still walking with them, discipling them. And doing board games, a board game club. Gav absolutely loves board games, and the young people do as well. And through that, they're discipling young people. God is the Father, the Father is the family. The family has a purpose, and the purpose is people. Our purpose in life is to love God and to love people with everything that we have. It's going to be sacrificial, it's going to be painful at times, it's going to cost us everything at times, but it's the greatest calling, it's the biggest calling that we can be called to. I'd love to give you an opportunity today, it'd be wrong with me to go without giving you an opportunity to partner with us in a financial way, if you would. We have these partnership packs that we use. They've got a number of different things in here. First thing is our latest Eden book, which is called Unfinished, which is an amazing book full of pictures and some writing, not just pictures, but writing as well. And that's to do with the Eden Network. The reason why it's called Unfinished is because the stories of people that we work with in the different communities around the world, and our lives, as their lives, are unfinished. And so there's some beautiful testimonies and stories there. I'll give you our Flow magazine, we produce quarterly, that's all updates and stuff about the work and the message around the world. This is one of our latest book, Andy Orphan's written, Here I Am, and it's based on Isaiah, the writings of Isaiah. It's a great, fantastic book. You take that as well. Another book here as well, Be in the Message. This was written a couple of years ago by different staff members at the Message, and the work that we do and the different work that different people do. There's a chapter on their worship and all sorts. You know, one of the other things I love about the Message, not only do we not just take money from anybody, but we put prayer at the centre of everything we do. And especially at HQ, the staff there, every morning we down tools and we pray together for half an hour to start the day off. Every Tuesday we have a prayer room, and every Tuesday from 12 till 3 it's open for the staff to come spend at least half an hour in that prayer room, prayer coordinator, that does that as well. And we also have monthly prayer days, so where the whole of the organisation comes together. There's over 100 staff now that work for the message, and with Eden and stuff, there'd be 200-300 people that was coming together once a month in this for this prayer day up in Manchester. You'll be welcome to come to that any time that you want to. It's open to anybody, any church that might want to be involved in it. One of our CDs from Amongst Wolves as well, their latest video. Then this as well, this accompanies the small groups as a resource for the book Here I Am as well, which Andy wrote. Lots of stuff here, isn't it? I feel like a second-hand car salesman at the moment. And then this is the best thing. This is a MP3 that's got 100 sermons on there. So when we have our prayer days, we have world-class guest speakers that come to that. We've had Danielle Strickland, if you know Danielle Strickland. We've had Lou Powell, we've had others as well. All their talks will be on there. We normally ask for a regular donation, which I've got performance for, of £25 a month. But actually, you know what, if all you can afford today is just £3 a month, the price of a coffee once a month, then I'd love to, I've got five of them, I'd love to give you one of these packs. If it's £3, £10, whatever, please come and see me afterwards, and I'd love to put one of those in your hands today. Amen.
Amen.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Sweet. Yes, amen.
Thanks very much, Shippa. That's an amazing testimony that you brought, and it's really encouraging to see that God's moving in people's lives that are released to us and the lost.
Yeah.
Amen. So let's just pray for Mrs. Trust for a few minutes. Father, we thank you for this amazing ministry that you've been working through for 30 years, three decades, Lord. And Father, we bless Andrew Orson, we bless all of the people that work in the bands, all of the people that work behind the scenes. Father, we do cause them to be encouraged. Through the testimonies that they hear, through the power that you give them and the insights to just do your work. Father, would you please cause them to be fruitful more and more as they lay down their lives to your kingdom. And Father, for those of us who are here today, would you speak to us by your Holy Spirit about what we can do to spread your kingdom, support your kingdom, to pray for your kingdom, and to put the message trust on our hearts. And hold them up in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have refreshments. Thomas has very kindly agreed to bring three quarters of his birthday cake to share with us. So we'll say that the children can have birthday coming up, and then everybody else is welcome to dive in. Some of the children have already been diving into the biscuits, so we will see how many we've got left. But please do stay and share fellowship. Please have a coffee with us. Please tell us how your week's been. We'd love to catch up with you. God bless.
Excellent. Still fun business.
Loads of bands. We have had loads of bands. 12, 24. 12, 24.
rebrand it for some unknown reason. So social beams.
Social beams.
Which yeah, nobody does social beams, but people learn to work for an actual better. Yeah.
Because I thought you
were
saying social beams.
I know, you're trying to solve
it. So
So they were an offshoot, they were part of the Message Trust.
Okay.
So was Lindsay West as well, it's Seven. We were very much part of the Dollar Bags called Blush, but then Blush back in the 90s, they came out there. A few bags. So all we tend to do is we do an academy year as well for 18 to 25 years. So we buzz and evangelistic buzz. So we tend to try and get a new band out of those as well. So we have a couple of years. So that's where it's all these bands.